The Senate Judiciary Committee will come to order. It is 1:37 on Monday, March 19th. There is a quorum present. Present are Senators Huggins, Cario, Wilkowski, myself, Senator French. The only matter on the calendar today is SB 36. We have the bill sponsor here. We got an overview of the bill last Thursday afternoon, and we were considering some of the provisions of the bill. Senator Cario, is there something you want to bring to the committee while we get started?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for having the discussion take place last week. My staff has informed me of the discussion that took place based on some comments that Annie Carpinetti had. It's my understanding from the Department of Law. The Department of Law has prepared a proposed amendment language for the committee members to look at. And I guess I understand on page 3, the A and B sections with regards to DWIs, if I understand correctly, on line 21, necessary to protect the public. The suggestion was that we perhaps wanted to have that language also appear up in the A section. And I guess I understand why the Department of Law is making that suggestion. And off the top of my head, I tend to think it's probably a sensible thing to do, unless your discussion on Friday pointed out some problems with that.
The discussion, it was Thursday, but the discussion was more or less about whether it was necessary, whether it was going to create a hurdle that some courts would have difficulty overcoming, or whether it was going to, in essence, make the bill better. We debated the policy a little bit, and then we have, and I think you all have now, an amendment that lays out the rationale for including the language. Let me just run through the points in the rationale so we make the record clear and folks that are listening know why it is we're considering taking this action. The rationale states as follows. In SB 36, under the B section that Senator Cario just referred to, before a court can order the defendant to refrain from drinking for up to a lifetime, if the person has been convicted of drunk driving for a third time or the drunk driving resulted in a death or serious physical injury to another person, the court must find that imposing such a sentence is necessary to protect the public. Under the A section, the court may also order the person convicted of a first felony offense under AS 1141 if the offense was substantially influenced by alcohol to refrain from drinking alcohol for up to a lifetime. This offense may include, for example, assault in the third degree, a Class C felony, which can consist of causing only physical injury by means of a dangerous instrument, such as a car. There is no requirement that the court find that imposing such a sentence be necessary to protect the public under AS 1255-015-A13A. This doesn't make sense. Ordering a person, including a person who may be addicted to alcohol, to refrain from drinking as either part of a sentence or as a condition of probation or parole for up to the rest of his or her life is not an inconsequential part of a sentence. This is particularly true if the person has been convicted of misdemeanor drunk driving, as is possible under proposed AS 1255-015-A13B, which has a maximum term of incarceration of 1 year, or of assault in the third degree under the proposed same statute 13A, which has a maximum term of incarceration of 5 years. Litigation over whether such a sentence or condition would involve a violation of due process of law or cruel and unusual punishment may be avoided if, under both scenarios, the court is required to find that the prohibition of drinking is necessary to protect the public. That's along the lines of the answer we got from Ms. Carpinetti, who was here to help us last Thursday. The amendment that you see before you would, on page 3, line 17, following the word alcohol, insert the phrase, and that, based on the defendant's history, there is reason to believe that imposing a requirement that the defendant refrain from consuming alcohol is necessary to protect the public. That's the content of the amendment. I'm going to now move that amendment and ask whether there's objection to it. Senator Wilkowski. Please.
Objection. Thank you. I object to the provision. I don't think there should be a requirement that the judge find that it is necessary to protect the public. I think that could, under many circumstances, be a difficult finding. or a finding that is challengeable. This whole section is not something that is mandatory. It's something that is optional at a judge's discretion. And I think if a judge, if someone commits a heinous crime under the influence of alcohol, I think a judge should have the ability to say you can't drink alcohol for 30 days, or you can't drink alcohol for a year, or 6 months, or whatever time is part of the punishment. I see this as a punishment, and so I would object to adding this provision.
Other comments, Senator Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to certainly make all of our statutes as sort of anti-alcohol as possible, but I guess, though, the main idea of this bill was really to try and sift out those people that alcohol is just flips the switch, you know, for them, that they really have shown a pattern of that's when they become the Dr. Jekyll, you know, or Mr. Hyde, whichever was the bad one, is that they've got a history. So if it was the, you know, the first DUI and you really, you know, damage somebody, I don't know that that one instance just by itself is enough to prove that you're one of the people that you just lose control of yourself when you drink. And that's what I was striving to have the court consider. So I think because of the last statement here on this justification about avoiding the any possible problem with due process, if the suggestion, as I understand it, is that adding this language to both the A or the A section, so it pretty much mirrors what is in the B section, if that helps avoid that problem, I think I'm going to support it.
Senator Wilkowski.
I actually think that adding that provision will likely lead to more litigation, will likely lead to more appeals, because instead of just giving a judge carte blanche right to say, to make a finding based on what he feels is best, he has to go through this analysis that it will, it is necessary to protect the public, which I think opens this up to appeal, and I continue my objection.
I see Mr. Zvobodny in the audience, and maybe I can ask you to come forward, Mr. Zvobodny, and introduce yourself, put yourself on the record, and comment if you like on the debate that's taking place in the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Rick Zvobodny. I'm Deputy Attorney General for the Criminal Division. I wouldn't begin to try to guess which is going to cause more litigation. There's going to be litigation one way or the other, and I don't know which one is going to be more. Oh. No.
Thank you for that help, Mr.
You're welcome.
Never ask the question you don't know the answer to.
Senator Terrio.
Not a question for Mr. Zvobodny, but we do have somebody here from the court system, and I'm not sure whether they want to ring in on this.
Mr. Williver, any opinion?
I would concur with my friend from the Department of Law.
Since you're not expressing an opinion, I'm not going to make you come forward and put yourself on the record for that answer. Thank you. Senator Wilkowski.
Adding this amendment would require a judge to make a finding that this is necessary to protect the public?
That, through the chair, that's correct.
And obviously that is something that would be appealable by a defendant.
Again, through the chair, that's also correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Mr. Zvobodny, was the amendment prepared by one of your assistant district attorneys?
It was prepared by Ms. Carpinetti, who works for the criminal division. She's actually not in the district attorney's offices.
I understand, but I just want to get the source of the drafting.
If I may, and I apologize, because actually I reviewed her rationale before it was submitted, I would make one comment on it. I think that you can also commit assault in the third degree by causing no injury. That is placing a person in fear of serious physical injury.
Imminent serious physical injury.
Imminent serious physical injury, but they don't sustain any injury. So, for example, and I'm not suggesting that the person in my example shouldn't have their privilege to drink revoked for the rest of their life, but say somebody who came out of a bar, picked up a bat, and started swinging the bat, no contact with anybody, but put them in fear that they were going to be hit with the bat, they would come under A in this bill.
Subsection A. Thank you. Any more committee discussion on this provision? The objection is maintained. If the clerk would call the roll.
Senator Terrio.
Yes.
Senator Willikowski.
No.
Senator McGuire.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Chair French.
Yes.
4 yeas, 1 nay.
The amendment is adopted. That brings the bill back before us, and we've been through the bill now at an introductory hearing and more narrowly focused today. More comments on the bill as a whole, Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill, the initial germ of the idea for this bill actually came from setting out in rural Alaska along the highway system that perhaps this would be a tool that could be utilized in areas where perhaps there's limited access to alcohol. There might be one roadhouse in the community, and although the proprietor of the business has the right to turn away anybody that he wants to, giving them the extra tool to say, you know what, John, you're in here, I know you're not supposed to be drinking, so it's not my choice to turn you down, but I know you're under court order, you're not supposed to drink, and so I'm not going to serve you. It gives that community perhaps a little bit more of an opportunity to control bad actors, that person that has just a proven history that when they drink, they lose all control, they become violent and a danger to themselves and a danger to others. I don't pretend that this is a cure-all for the alcohol problems in the state of Alaska, but it might be a little bit of a step in the right direction. We had some testimony that that the possibility of such a ban, and I think, Mr. Chairman, the testimony was stacking, I think. You know, it could be used to really get a person's attention to say, you need to get yourself some treatment. Because if you don't agree to some treatment, you know, we're gonna pile up as much stuff here to be imposed upon you if you're found guilty. And if you agree to some treatment, maybe all those things will not happen. I see some benefit to that, too. So I just think it's one more tool for the court system, for the prosecutors to use to help try and control the alcohol problem, which we know is serious in the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Senator Terrio. Members of the committee should also have a letter of intent that came from Senator McGuire's State Affairs Committee, which I'm not sure if the letter caught up with the bill leaving State Affairs, but it's now here before us, and it simply states that the legislature recognizes that laws alone may not achieve the same level of behavioral correction that counseling and treatment are designed to provide. It is therefore the intent of the legislature that the courts, when addressing those who are first-time violators of this statute, should be enacted, use, when available, therapeutic court in lieu of a standard sentencing. If openings in the therapeutic court are not available, the legislature intends that standard sentencing for Class A misdemeanor be carried out as set out in the statute of the act. That is the letter. Do we need to formally adopt that?
Yes, as a second motion.
Then let's first of all move. I would solicit a motion to adopt the letter of intent. Or is it just moving out of committee that needs to take place?
I think it's just when you move it out. We moved it out of the state affairs. Isn't it just a movement?
So we don't adopt it so much as move it out to travel with the bill.
That's correct. And finally, when the bill comes before the full body, at that time there would need to be an actual vote on the letter of intent.
I see.
But as long as it moves out with the bill packet, it's fine.
I see. And this bill, I see, goes on to the Finance Committee after it leaves here. Anyone else online or in the room that wants to testify on SB 36? I don't see any. Public testimony is therefore closed on the bill. Further discussion among the members of the committee? What's the will of the committee with respect to SB 36?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Judiciary CS for Senate Bill 36 with the attached fiscal notes and the State Affairs letter of intent be passed from the committee with individual recommendations to the next committee of referral.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the bill is moved out of committee. I'm going to adjourn the meeting, but please don't leave till you've signed all the appropriate paperwork.